Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week our guest is the head of BBC Asian Network, Ahmed Hussein. The station has been broadcasting across the UK on DAB and online since October 2002. And in 2020, Ahmed took over as head of the network. Then in 2024, they won UK Station of the Year at the ARIAs. BBC Asian Network has recently launched its first speech and current affairs show called Asian Network Trending. And before we hear from Ahmed about how the idea came about, here's a flavour of the new show.
Wednesday night. How are we doing? You are locked in to the BBC Asian Network with me, Amber Hack. This is our fresh new show, Asian Network Trending. It is the place to be. It's our space where we can get together, where we can get stuck into the stories that matter the most to you. And I really want you to get in the mix. I want to get you on the show. I want us to get talking.
Asian Network Trending. The biggest stories, viral conversations, and hottest takes.
And I think tonight's show is definitely going to be looking at something which has been on a lot of people's minds, especially women in our community, the sexual assaults that have been happening in the West Midlands. We're going to be giving some time to that on the show to really chat about how we've all been feeling. But we're also going to be talking about a big moment that's happened on the other side of the pond. We've got a brand new mayor in New York City, Zoran Mamdani, the first ever Muslim mayor and the youngest in decades. As always, if there's anything we're chatting about that you want to have your say on, you just want to come say hi to me, make sure you do. Give me a shout, 0345 944 0445 is the number you can get me on.
So Asian Network Trending came about because actually as part of the news savings, Asian Network News closed down for Asian Network. That's all out in the public. That went through a proper process with Ofcom. And it was an opportunity for us to look at how we do news and current affairs on Asian Network. And the unique thing about this is that actually it got put out to commission. So we wrote a proper brief for it and then put it out for commission where we had a number of suppliers who would come and pitch to us. And Samsara Productions won that. And Asian Network Trending is very much about what's happening right now. It's split into 2 hours. So the first hour is very much about what's happening right now. What are the stories, the bespoke stories that Asian Network audiences can really get into and get their teeth into and talk about and discuss and call up and send voice notes and really, really properly get into it. And the second hour is very much on demand. So this is a deep dive into issues that matter to our audiences that they might not consume anywhere else on the BBC or the rest of the BBC or anywhere else in the media might not be talking about. And it's a really good opportunity for us to actually take that and do proper public service with it, with new voices that we might not have had on before.
It is split into two distinct shows, really. Why have you done it like that?
So the second hour is to allow for it to breathe, because, you know, on the radio, you've only have so many hours to do so many things, and there's often a lot of subjects to cover. The first hour, obviously, anything could be happening in that week or on that day. And it's called Trending for a reason in that it's very relevant to what we're doing. And that deep conversation and podcast format and that really strong journalism is 60 minutes to explore a single, often unreported or underreported theme, topic or story, which resonates with the Asian Network audience. Now, many of the people listening might not know this, but more than 50% of the people that consume Asian Network content do not consume any other BBC content at all. So actually, the service we're doing with this show in itself is proper public service.
I mean, how have you identified that? Why do you think that is, that 50% of your audience aren't using any other part of the BBC?
So, well, I've identified it because that's what we get told via radios.
Well, yeah.
Well, there's that. But then obviously there's proper research that goes into it from our BBC audiences team as well. And I think there's a number of things here. We are in a very different space than where we probably were 22 years ago for Asian Network. There are still people who listen to us who've probably been with Asian Network from the beginning, and there are new people that will come to Asian Network. Now, often whether it be in the car or at home, it's more of a family listen. And so it might just be tuned into that one service. This is why Asian Network does such a job for so many people. This is where sometimes people that are listening want the network to do anything and everything for them. But unfortunately, that's not what we're here for. And I always say this is that Asian Network does a little bit of something for everyone at different times on the schedule. And so when you break down the schedule and what it does, and if we go back to trending, trending does a very good job of doing those deep dives into those subjects and themes that might not be covered, not just in the BBC, but in the wider media outlet. But then you might go and listen to new music from young British Asian artists that you don't hear on any other Asian radio station, let alone any other mainstream station either. It's because we're unique. We are very unique to what we do and what we deliver.
Let's talk then in more detail about those topics you're saying that Asian Trending Network pick up on. One of the ones I was listening to was the most recent one, and it was the second hour, and it was that deep dive into Indian and Asian soldiers who fought in the First and Second World War. It was an incredible listen, and I had no idea of the numbers. I learned so much.
When you break it down, that does hit differently, because if you look at the narrative on what's happening in the world today and what we're seeing happening across a lot of the UK in terms of how people are being treated because of their background and because of where they might have come from, when you delve into that story a little bit deeper and you hear, I mean, what you've just said, those stats and those facts, and you break that down, there's more that brings everyone closer than they think. There's more links, there's more relationships, and there's a reason why there are people in the UK and other Western countries, and there's a reason why people were invited here, and there's a reason why people fought for this country. I'm not going to go through every single aspect of what's in that hour,
No. But
it's exactly a reason for people to listen to that, because where else would you hear that story?
This show's been going now only since 27th of October.
Yeah, so at the time of recording this, it's only been 3 episodes that have gone out. So bear with us. We're kind of finding our feet, but the team are doing an incredible job, I have to say. For a team that is not BBC News, so remember, this isn't a BBC News production, the team are doing an incredible job, and they're going above and beyond what they need to do to make this happen. And I can, and please quote me on this, please do quote me on this, I can see the show winning awards.
Well, it's so different, you know, it's for you. And, you know, I've always thought of BBC Asian as a predominantly music station. But was it something your listeners were telling you that they wanted?
This show, what it does is it opens it up to a point where, so I'll give you an example. We had a meeting earlier today where all the staff from the station get together and talk about what's happening across the station. A lot of the ideas that are coming through to this show now, which wasn't happening before, is actually coming from other people across the station. So regardless if they work on a breakfast show, if they work on a music show, it's what matters to them as young British Asians that might be living in the UK, and then what they're seeing or what they're hearing, like, actually, we do need to know more about that. In a way, the uniqueness and the approach to this program, which is the fact that it's open, and we can take on themes and subjects that we might not be able to cover in the past. But now we also have time. So the planning, as you know, in radio, planning goes a very long way. We're already looking at what happens in the next 3 to 6 months with that, especially that second hour, because we can't determine the first hour, because that is determined by what's happening in the news or what's trending currently.
But the second hour is more like a documentary, isn't it? You know, like, that can be planned.
Exactly. And imagine rolling out a documentary every week with a very small team. That's why I say the team are doing an amazing job.
It's a new team, as you said. It's a new show. You wanted new voices too. Tell me about the presenters, because it's not always the same person, is it?
Yeah. So we rotate, and it depends on the subject that's been covered. So Amber has started off. So Amber started off the first, and you'll hear more of Amber over the coming weeks and months as well. So Amber Huck is our resident presenter at the moment. But when it comes to those specialisms, we will look at voices to bring in. And Monica, she talked about her granddad, she talked about her family in the recent one, around people who fought for Britain in the two world wars. And she had that personal connection. And for us as well, it's that storytelling. And it's really important to tell that story from an authentic place. And this show allows them to do that. So yeah, the presenters will rotate as time goes on.
3.8 million Indian soldiers fought for Britain in both the First and Second World Wars. At least 160,000 soldiers were killed. Historians say they're the forgotten army. Among them, my great-grandfather, Lakshman Das, who fought in World War II, and his father before him, Subodh Singh, my great-great-grandfather, who fought in World War I.
For me, new voice on the station, since I've been in this role for the last 5 years and a couple of months now, one of the things that I've really looked to do is to represent the full demographics of the British Asian experience. So people who are of different ethnic backgrounds, who bring different experiences to on air. And one of the things we did a couple of years ago was a thing called Asian Network Represents, where people could upload their demos. And then if successful, we'd have 12 voices on air for every single month of the year. That hasn't happened for a couple of years, but I can exclusively tell you now that we're bringing that back for 2026. So we're bringing back Asian Network Represents. So if you feel like you can be on Asian Network and you've got something to say, you don't have to be serious. You don't have to be a journalist. This is about being a presenter, coming in, being authentic and being distinctive and just enjoying what you do. Then I definitely encourage people to put in demos. And the number of people that have done it in the past who are now doing bits for our station, who are actually working on the station in different capacities, is apparent because even from the voice of the station, so the ident that always said BBC Asian Network, she came through Asian Network Represents. And then you've got other people who are working in other parts of the BBC or the wider media because they took that step, first step, and did a month here.
I love an exclusive. Thank you so much for that. So will there be more details about how people can send their demos and how they can send them in in the new year?
In early January, yes.
Fabulous. Thank you. That is brilliant because I have on here, how do you discover new talent? And that is exactly how you discover new talent.
I can break that down a little bit. So discovering new talent, I think that the job of anyone who works in a senior role in a radio station is that you should never switch off. You're always looking for new talent, not because your talent aren't good enough, but because things need to move. People might move on. People might decide they've had enough, or they might say, actually, I've done X amount of years now and so-and-so is calling me over there. I want to go and try that out. Or it might just be that sometimes people just feel that they've come to the end of their journey. And I would hope that a lot of my presenters don't feel like that. But you've always got to be prepared, right? You've always got to plan. So if, for example, someone did get knocked over by a bus or they decided that they're going to leave the country and take up a career somewhere else, I need to know what I'm going to do when that person leaves. Or if that person's going, who's going to come in and cover them? And who's going to be very good at what they do? How can they succeed the person that they're covering? And so for me, I've always got my eyes and my ears open. And that's not just through this represent scheme, but it's also through what we see happening on socials or who's doing what. Maybe they've got a podcast or maybe they're just out in the world and in the industry doing X, Y, and Z. And they're popping up everywhere. I'm like, actually, that's quite interesting. I wonder if it's worth me having a conversation with them. And I'm always thinking like that simply because we don't want to have gaps in our schedule and we want to have good people. And the one thing that I would say is really, really important is that the BBC can make you very famous. And we've seen a lot of examples of that. What I would always ask someone is, what are you doing to make yourself famous?
So are you looking at places like TikTok and Instagram? Are you looking at influencers?
Yes and no. And I'll be very honest with you on this, is that there are some very good people and there are some very bad people. Radio, unless you're pre-recording one of your shows, radio, what you say goes out live. And now what I've found with a lot of people on Instagram and on TikTok is that having had everything scripted and recorded it 50 times before they put the version out doesn't really work for me when they've come in to do a live show.
No.
And there are certain people who've come and piloted and they've understood that. And there are other people who've come and piloted and have been very, very good and actually got it from the beginning. And then we've trained them up a little bit more. Those are good spaces to look in, but we shouldn't forget student radio, community radio, people who are doing things in the industry, who's in that world, who's really authentic, who's just getting on with it. Like, we've got to keep eyes everywhere, not just on socials.
It's interesting you mentioned student radio because we just student radio awards. It is a really key place, I think, for new talent and something we're really passionate about at the Radio Academy as well. I guess in your role as head of the station, when you say you're always having to, you never switch off, you're always having to look, I mean, I guess that's just part of the job, isn't it?
Yeah. It's part of the job. And part of the job is also this, is that now, 5 years on, more than 60 to 70% of our station is supplied by independent suppliers. So we're really helping that independent sector, especially in the Midlands. And part of my job, alongside my team, and obviously everyone else who works on the station as well, is always looking for good off-air talent. So this is production talent. So we're looking at producers, assistant producers, or people just starting out. Because actually, and if anyone's listening and they are based in the Midlands, there's a heap of freelance roles at the moment that we need filling. And we need people to cover behind people. And there's a challenge in the Midlands, and we are all working. BBC's run a number of production schemes, and all of those people on those production schemes have actually ended up getting jobs with independent suppliers. So when people say there aren't enough jobs and there aren't enough roles, there are. Please come to the Midlands and speak to the teams there. And answer a question. I'll ask it first and then answer it. And I know you're interviewing me, but something that comes up quite often is that, oh, it's Asian Network, but I'm not Asian and I don't know, so maybe it's not for me. Don't worry about that. Okay. If you know the process, and if you're a really good producer and you know how to produce a program, you can produce anyway. It will take a bit of understanding around some of the nuances. I get that. But you pick up nuances, okay? And you have people around you that can lean in on the culture as well. So don't let that put you off.
Do you know, that's a really interesting point, because I think there are people out there, and I certainly would have felt the same at the beginning of my career, who would have thought, well, I can't go and work there, you know? I've got no business going.
Come.
And working there. Thank you very much. I will. You mentioned that you've been head of the station for 5 years, but the station has been going longer than that, over 20 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
How have you seen it grow and change in your time?
Well, I'll start with a big one. We won the ARIAs in 2024.
You did indeed, yeah.
That was well done to the team for that, because that is the growth of the station, and that shows the growth of the station. Obviously, where we are now compared to 20 years ago is the people we're talking to now are third and fourth and fifth generation British Asians. And we are talking to people who, and I always use this example, is that there might be someone who goes to Glastonbury and has a time of their life, and the next week they're doing a dance routine at their friend's Asian wedding or Mendi. And those are the people we're talking to, people who wear many different badges. And that's where we are at Asian Network at the moment. One of the titles on Asian Network Certified, and at the time of recording, in 2 days' time, we've got our actual event for this in Birmingham. But Asian Network Certified is something that happens every single day on the radio, on air. And that was conceived from the point of view that there may be a lot of people who are of British Asian origin that feel like Asian Network isn't for them because they've not grown up on some of those genres. And that's okay. That's not a problem. I didn't grow up on all those genres. But an Asian Network Certified, what it did was take those Asian genres, so you might be talking Bollywood, the Punjabi stuff, the British Asian stuff, and then mix and mash that up with the hip-hop, the grime, the R&B. And so that when you are listening, and this is a mix, when you are listening, you're never too far away from something you're comfortable with. But for me, it's about getting that listening, maybe 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and maybe an extra 5 minutes there. And so it's bringing people in. And that Asian Network Certified brand, since its launch, has always been the top one or two in that second or first on-demand listening for our network.
Finally, what are your ambitions for the station for the future? Where do you see BBC Asian Network moving and growing in the next, say, 5 years?
We've already moved towards more of the on-demand content. Obviously, we'd like to do more of the on-demand. And I hope with charter renewal, and where we are with whoever the new DG that comes in, that Asian Network gets the support it needs. And we're very supported at the moment, so we want to keep that support. And I think part of it is on myself as leading the station and my team and the people that work here to champion the station. It is a place for people who are of British Asian origin and people who are interested in the British Asian stories to come to and discover. And it does a very, very, very good job at public service. And it is why we exist, because I have utmost respect for all of the other Asian stations that are out here in the UK doing what they're doing, because everyone's doing something unique. But what we deliver on BBC Asian Network, no one else does in the same way. you know, we champion new music to the BBC Institution Show. We have speech like we've talked about Asian Network Trending. We have everything from the British Asian chart that we launched a couple of years ago, because we saw that there wasn't an outlet for the British Asian artist. And then through to all the entertainment and the big superstar interviews you get. And I want the future to be even more so of that. And I want people to understand what Asian Network is about. We have a lot of shouting to do, and I'm hoping that we're shouting in the right direction, because being nominated for awards and winning awards means that people are taking notice, and we need to do a lot more of that. And I want every single person who's working for Asian Network to be proud to be working here, and actually the hard work that goes in there. I get the battles you've got to face. I get sometimes you've got to try and explain yourself a little bit more than other people might have to. And that's okay. We have an outlet. We've got something unique here. Let's champion it. Let's celebrate it. And there's three words I always use, which is championing, celebrating our culture.
A big thank you to Ahmed Hussein, head of BBC Asian Network, who is a former 30 under 30, which goes to show that when you're a 30 under 30 alumni, you can go on to great things. And with that in mind, congratulations to our AIR Radio Academy 30 Under 30 Class of 2025, who were announced last week. If you haven't seen who they are yet, go to our website and socials, radioacademy.org. Bradford Foot in the Door tickets are now on sale. These events are for anyone wanting to find out how they take that first step into the radio and audio industry. The event is on the 8th of December at the National Science and Media Museum in Bradford. Check out details of the speakers on our website and book your tickets at radioacademy.org/training. Next week on the podcast, we celebrate this year's AIR Radio 30 Under 30 by meeting the class of 2025, when they received the exciting phone calls to tell them that they'd been chosen. Plus, we hear more from Ricky Lee, CEO of the radio software company AIR, who have sponsored our 30 Under 30 this year. I'll see you next week.